Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our scripture is taken from Psalm 24, verse 1, which talks about creation. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." This talks about the Lord as our creator. The Lord created the earth, and he created each and every one of us. We are his creation. All mankind has been created in his image, and therefore we have the imprint of God. And therefore God has put his imprint upon each and every one of us. There's a shallowness and a darkness in our life and a yearning in our life if we don't have God in our life. And so this is an encouragement for all of us to recognize that God is a creator. And he created each and every one of us, and that means that we're accountable to him. And that means that we need to bow our head and receive him as our Lord and Savior, and then walk with him and learn from him and grow with him and become ambassadors for Christ that he's promised we can become as we humble ourselves in his presence and seek his face each day. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Mark Perkins. He's the pastor of Destination Life Fellowship. He's been telling us about his ministry and some of the wonderful things that God's been doing. Mark, why don't you tell us about some of the things that are coming up this summer and this year in your ministry?
Coming up here in April, we are doing our annual sunrise service right down at Niagara Falls, right in the state park. We do that every year. In the summer, I've got three missions teams, youth missions teams that are going to be coming in that we're going to kind of be coordinating efforts for helping them to reach out in the community. They'll do a little bit of work maybe around our place, but mostly it's going to be focused on trying to reach out into the communities, find service projects in the neighborhood. People that have issues with their house might need some painting or some minor repair. I'm also coordinating with some other pastors of other churches that have a similar situation that where we can get these teams. I think we're going to have like 60 folks 1 week and another 20, 25 folks the next week in July to come in. We're also taking these teams out onto the street. We'll be doing some street ministry, some food distribution maybe, and things like that. Another thing that we got going, we've been doing the last couple of summers, is to do what they call midnight barbecue. We go out on some of the worst streets in Niagara Falls where the gang activity and drug dealing's going on, and we just set up our barbecue and cook hamburgers and hot dogs from 10 to midnight, just giving them out free, sharing God's love with them, talking to people, and doing what we can to share the gospel. And so that's exciting to see what's really happening as we do that.
Why don't you tell us about some of the folks that you've been able to meet needs with spiritually, help them physically. Why don't you tell us some of those stories? I know you've got so many.
Each week we have our clothes closet and food pantry. We meet with on average 20, 25 households per week that we are able to minister to them with clothing and a bag of food. One of the people that we have been ministering to for a number of years is a woman by the name of Virginia. Virginia just found out that her mom has about 6 months to live. She has extensive late stage cancer. And so we just need to come around her and share. My wife and I are doing whatever we can to be there for her and to love on her. We have that. We also have a lot of other folks that just come in each week, and we laugh with them. We cry with them. We pray with them. We share the love of God with them in just a lot of different ways. It may be tangible, you know, with material stuff, but it's also that ability to be a shoulder to cry on if they need it, and just to be able to pray for them.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to reach people for Christ is to show love and to meet a need in a person's life. If you can find some area where they're really struggling and you can help them in that area, then they're open to the gospel, to what you have to say. And that's a great way to bring people to Christ. We really appreciate your ministry, Mark, and we'll continue this conversation next week.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. We appreciate those who write in to us each week, because this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without prayer support and financial support of our listeners. Many have included us in their will to help us to continue this broadcast into the future. This is the oldest Christian broadcast in North America. We've been on the air for well over 90-plus years, and God has continued to bless us, and it's been primarily through the legacy gifts, or people that remember us in the will, that we've been able to continue this ministry. This month, we're offering a wonderful, wonderful pamphlet. It's entitled Palm Sunday to Easter, and it chronicles the last week of Jesus' life. Not only does it have a day-by-day timeline with scripture references, but it also connects them to the map of Jerusalem. And what's really a blessing, it has a clock of sorts, which chronicles the final hours of Jesus' life from his trial before Pilate to his burial. Another helpful feature shows the Roman, Jewish, and modern time frames to make sense of the sequence. It includes also some Jewish tombs of that period with artifacts, and also talks about crucifixion. It actually mentions the medical effects of scourging and the crucifixion that would have been placed on Jesus' body. It's a well thought out pamphlet that is solid and has biblical references, and it's really helpful for Bible study and to put every verse in perspective that talks about the great work that Jesus did on the cross from Palm Sunday to Easter. I really encourage you highly to get a copy of this pamphlet. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. And please continue to pray for this broadcast.
Coming with many.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is entitled Prelude to the End Times. I know that you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today I'd like to begin a brief series entitled, Are We Seeing a Prelude to the End Times? In each of these messages, it is our goal to carefully examine one or two portions of Scripture to see what might be in them relating to the end times. Then we would like to develop how that applies to what's going on in the world around us today. Our passages of Scripture for today's message are found in 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 4, 1-3 reads, Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. In the passage we've just read, as well as in 2 Timothy 3, which we will examine in a few minutes, the Apostle Paul is warning young Timothy about the strategies of the enemies of God that would develop as time would pass. He was referring to what had already been taught by the Lord, by other apostles like Peter and himself, as well as by Jude. According to what had been taught previously, the situation would deteriorate and do so with increasing speed as Christ's return would approach. The phrase, in latter times, goes along with the term last days, found in 2 Timothy 3. Though Paul viewed what follows as still future, he is pointing out to the young pastor Timothy that these false teachings had already begun to cast their shadow. The first thing he notes is that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is referring to people who might even be in the church, but had never received Christ as their Savior. They would be those who would teach the false doctrines that was a guise of Satan to lead people astray. Their doctrines were instigated by demons under the authority of Satan himself. Without listing names, we certainly have a great influx of false doctrine in today's world. In verse 2, we find that those who are the enemies of God often do not openly confront Christians with blatantly false teachings, but sneak them in through lies and hypocrisy. Satan blinds their minds and sears their consciences as a hot iron, cauterizes them so that they are ready to do his bidding without any problems. These false teachers that were already plaguing the church at Ephesus were the forerunners of what would follow. They would come up with all sorts of commands and things that should not be done according to their views, and try to force these regulations on the church. Paul makes it very clear that what God has created is good, and we should be grateful for what God has given and not follow after what these false teachers were presenting. So often today, as we approach the Lord's coming, people are led astray by personalities or emotionalism, plagues that seem to be rapidly expanding as Christ's coming draws nigh. The second passage of Scripture for consideration today is found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those that creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. Paul continues to inform Timothy that there will be many things that will drastically change as the day for the return of the Lord approaches. There will be gradual changes at first, even like the ones that were already beginning to appear. However, they would intensify and be magnified as that day approaches. The apostle predicts that perilous times would come. That can also be translated very stressful times. As we look at the present world, have we ever seen such a stressful time? Even world leaders are totally perplexed, not knowing what to do or which way to turn. He then continues by giving 19 changes that will take place. The first is that men will be lovers of themselves. They will be self-centered, with everything about what they want. So many people today are narcissistic. Even our young people, when they graduate from school, expect a high-paying job to start. They want everything their parents worked for years to have right now. Being deeply in debt to satisfy their wants is not a problem for them. The next characteristic of the times near the Lord's return is that they are lovers of money. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, "The love of money is the root of all evil. Our world today has gone money mad." The next two characteristics of that age are boasters and proud. One who boasts is a person who is only expressing his inward pride. The word proud has the idea of being arrogant. We certainly live in an age of arrogance. The next word is blasphemers. Recently, a friend of mine visited the Virginia House and Senate one day. They were discussing a major morality issue. The vote came down to table the matter, as it was too controversial. Afterwards, Christians who had opposed the legislation were mobbed by the crowd, who cursed them and mocked Jesus Christ and God. Guess what? Paul knew what he was talking about, and it will only get worse as the day approaches. Disobedient to parents is the next characteristic. Do we see any of this today? When I was a boy, you obeyed your parents or else. Today, a lot of that "or else" has gone by the wayside. Unthankful is the next characteristic. Do you remember the day when you gave someone a gift and no matter how small it was, you received a note of thanks? In recent years, so many times, even when we've given a sizable gift, there's never a note or even a word of thanks. Things like this have changed drastically. Unholy. Not only is this characteristic of those who do not know the Lord, but I'm seeing this in our churches. In some, there's as much noise as I've heard at a ball game while the service is in progress. It appears that reverence to God has been forgotten or eliminated. Unloving or without love is another characteristic of the age. The only other place this Greek word is used in Scripture is in Romans 1, where it connotes the idea of being heartless. Unforgiving comes next in this lineup of characteristics of this period. In other New Testament usage, it has the concept of diabolic, or of the devil himself. To my way of thinking, the next four characteristics can be tied together: slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. Are these ever strong words about lifestyles? What is happening in cities across our country shows how we're people out of control. When we consider the number of murders in cities like Chicago, San Francisco, New York, and others, it shows a total lack of self-control and unchecked brutality. Then on the other side of the coin, there's an uprising of hate for authority and police that are there to keep people safe. They mock that which is good. In all my years, I have never seen society turn away from that which is right and good, as I've seen in the last 10 to 15 years. Traitors, headstrong, and haughty seem to go together as well. The original Greek brings out the idea of having an aggressive inclination towards vice, as well as the idea of betrayal. It indicates a society that has lost control and is totally reckless in its actions, leaning towards self-destruction. On top of that, they are puffed up, loaded with conceit. They are right, and no one else is but them. The next phrase is very intriguing. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If this is not a description of the present generation, I do not know what is. We even have our children involved in sports from a very young age. Now schools are not only having their games during the week, but on Sundays as well. Today, whenever you see a group of men standing around talking, the conversation usually comes around to sports. For many, it is an all-consuming topic of conversation. They know the teams, the scores, and all the statistics, but they know very little about the Bible or spiritual things, and they don't care to know about them. Take, for example, the modern Bible-believing church. A few years ago, Sunday morning was the worship service. Sunday evening was the evangelistic service. And Wednesday evening was the prayer meeting. Now most churches only have a Sunday morning service. Why? Pastors will pretty well all tell you the same thing. The people just won't come. They have too many other things to do. Some years ago, I pastored a church near the Finger Lakes in New York State. We always had families who said goodbye in May. We'll see you in September. God was set aside for the summer. We see our society desiring more and more of pleasure, but less and less of the things of God. There is a form of godliness today, but there seems to be very little power. Now it may seem that I've been very negative in this message, but have we not just looked at what the Lord God says? I have tried to take each phrase from the two portions of Scripture we have examined. When we opened these verses, did we not see where we are as a society today? As the Apostle Paul wrote these two letters to the young pastor Timothy, he was deeply concerned about the things that were beginning to creep into the fledgling New Testament churches way back then. He predicted that they would build in intensity to a climax just prior to the return of the Lord. I do not know what your feelings are about these things, but as I consider them, it could be that we are very close to our Lord's return. May I ask a personal question of you who know the Lord as your personal Savior? When it comes to your lifestyle today, would you be satisfied living the way you are and doing the things you're doing if He came into your home right now? Right before our eyes, we're seeing things coming to pass that were prophesied to reach their fruition just prior to the return of the Lord. To my way of thinking, we must be seeing the prelude to end time events. The Lord's coming could be very soon. Now, I'd like to make it very clear that there are no signs given before the rapture of the church. That could happen at any moment, even today. What we have been sharing with you is in reference to things that will reach their fruition after the true church has been removed. I am convinced that we're seeing today a prelude to the end time events predicted in the Bible. Are you ready for them? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Or are you ready to face the Lord at the great white throne judgment, where those who have never trusted Christ will be sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire? The choice is yours, my friend, and it makes an eternal difference, and it could be soon. I trust that if you've never trusted in Christ to forgive you of your sins, you will do it today.
I trust the Lord used the previous message to draw you closer to Himself and to help you to be encouraged in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we continue to be concerned about those who do listen to our broadcast. We trust that those of you who have been believers over the years have been encouraged, and we pray that the Word of God will continue to bless you and help you today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing. And to those who have never received Christ personally, this is Easter, and of course, this is the time where the Lord Jesus fulfilled His goal of going to the cross. The purpose for Him coming and be born in a manger and living a sinless life was to go to the cross and bear each of our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. And as He hung between heaven and earth, He paid the hell that we deserve for all our sins. He took it upon Himself. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, the Scripture says. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. Old things pass away. All your sins are forgiven. You have a new life. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a new opportunity. Also, all of us can have our faith increased and even blessed by ordering our copy of Palm Sunday to Easter. I know that you'll not be disappointed by receiving this free gift from our ministry. You can write Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit our website at www.missiongo.org. That's missiongo.org. And you can hear previous broadcasts of Canada's National Bible Hour. Please remember us in your prayers, and please pray that God will continue to sustain us financially so that we can continue this broadcast into the future. May the Lord bless you throughout this week, and I trust you'll continue to sense His presence and do His work.